There have been many great speakers throughout the history of our time. If I were to pass out pens and paper to everyone here and have everyone write down a list of their 10 greatest speakers, in their opinion, of our nation, and collect them all up and look at the names, tally them all up, one name I'm sure would appear from most everyone here would be Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He had a great, amazing speech when he said, "I have a dream." That speech helped spark a revolution that would bring an end to segregation here in America. Another name I'm sure would appear quite often, Ronald Reagan, when he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." He helped bring an end to the Cold War. I'm sure there'd be many, many other great speakers, and I could spend the entire time going through all the great speakers and all the great things they've done. But if you take all that together, all those great speakers, the great speeches they did, the great things they did with those speeches, all of that pales in comparison to what happens when God speaks. I'm going to read a few selected verses from Genesis, the first chapter, detailing when God speaks. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God said, 'Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water.' So God made the expanse, separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. And God said, 'Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear,' and it was so. Then God said, 'Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it, according to their various kind,' and it was so. And God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on earth.' And it was so. And God said, 'Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky.' And God said, 'Let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, a livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind.' And it was so." God said, and it was so. God spoke, and it was. God created everything with his words. Those are some pretty powerful words. When we think about everything that God created with those words, try and think of some of the most majestic things he created. Mount Everest, for one. It's a pretty impressively tall mountain. Stands at 29,035 feet high. Right now, if I were to say, "See you guys, I'm gonna go try and climb the mountain, go jump on a plane, fly there, start my way up," I wouldn't be able to make it to the top. Doubt I'd even be able to make it halfway up. It takes years and years of training to be able to climb Mount Everest. You've gotta prepare yourself for winds in excess of 118 miles per hour. You've gotta prepare your body for temperatures less than negative 15 degrees Fahrenheit. And even after your years and years of training, you start at base camp. It's 17,500 feet. From there, you climb and climb and climb. You're going to pass four other camps along the way till finally reaching the summit at over 29,000 feet. Of all the people that have tried, not too many have made it up there. Even the people that didn't make it, they still put forth their best effort. They tried, they spent years and years of training, they had all the right preparations, and still could not overcome that mountain. That's one pretty impressive mountain. Let's think of some other really impressive things that God created with those words. The deepest point in the ocean, it's called the Challenger Point. It's located in the Marianas Trench. It's 36,200 feet deep. The Marianas Trench it's a really deep fissure. It's located east of the Marianas Islands. It stretches about 1,554 miles long, and on average, it runs about 44 miles wide. And just to get an idea of how incredibly deep that 36,000 feet is, if you were to take the Empire State Building in New York, which stands at about 1,472 feet high, and you set that at the very bottom of that Challenger Point, you'd have to stack that on top of itself 5.5 times to be able to reach the sea level. If you were to take Mount Everest, the tallest mountain, and you were to set it at the bottom of the Marianas Trench, there would still be 1.25 miles of water from the peak of that mountain to the ocean level. That's pretty deep. No man that we've ever seen has been able to go down and swim to the bottom of the Challenger Point. No one's even gotten anywhere near that. In order to get down there, we've got to build some pretty incredible machines. We've got to research the right metals. We have to find the right structure that's going to be able to support 8 tons of pressure per square inch that's going to be exerted on that. So it takes a lot of technology and some really impressive machines to be able to get down that far. And all that God created was just a word. Even more impressive than the Marianas Trench is outer space. Even with all the technology we have, all the brightest minds of our time, and we still don't even know how much there is. You know, some scientists are arguing that there's an infinite amount in outer space. Others say that it's finite, we just haven't gotten there yet. Some people say that we can see everything and we just think there's other things. And even with all the brightest minds working at it, no one can even answer how much space really is in outer space. We haven't even been able to get there yet. And God created all that with just his words. Those are some really powerful words. Because when God speaks, it matters. Reading in Psalms 33, verse 9. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. When God spoke, created everything. Turning to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. This wasn't a normal, you know, a couple waves here and there, rocks the boat a little too much, someone got a little green in the face. I mean, these men here, four of the men on the boats were experienced fishermen. They were fishermen by trade. By the time they were 12 years old, they would have been able to rig the boat up and down. They could sail that thing, you know. To these men, fishing and sailing were their lives up till Jesus came. Now, so if it was just a normal storm, if it was even a pretty dang big storm, these men would have been able to take care of it. They would have been able to, you know, work the boats right, do the right things, and they would be able to keep afloat and avoid that storm. But even with those men, these fully grown sailors were afraid for their lives. They said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" These full-grown sailors thought they were going to die because this powerful, powerful storm. Everything they could do was in vain. They could not overcome this storm. But Jesus gets up, says, "Quiet, be still." And with just those three words, everything was still. Those were three powerful words. So when God speaks, it matters. I'm going to read in Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 6, and verses 40 and 41. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard speaking in his own language. Then verses 40 and 41. With many other words he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now these apostles were just ordinary men. They hadn't gone through years and years of training. They hadn't learned how to stand in front of thousands and thousands of people and deliver powerful speeches to them. They didn't go learn the psychology of the human mind on how to say the right things to get the right people to do what you want them to. It wasn't any of that. I mean, these are the very men that just a few days ago had fled when Jesus was arrested. These men were led by the same man who denied Jesus three times before he was crucified. These men were mortal just like you and I. They were no more special than us. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit that day, each person there was able to hear in their own native tongue. Now, I spent 2.5 years at Channel Islands High School, and while I was there, I went to a few of the graduations they had, and they have a bilingual graduation there. What that means is they'll have one man come up, and he'll read off the opening ceremony in English. He'll come back and sit down. Someone else comes up, reads the exact same thing, but in Spanish, and goes and sits down. And they go that way, trading off for the entirety of the graduation ceremony. That's not what we see happening here. It wasn't John comes up, goes in Hebrew, does his thing, goes, sits down. Someone else, James, comes up, does it in Arabic. That's not what we see. These men got up there, and they were speaking, and everyone there heard it in their own native tongue. The power of the Spirit was with them, speaking that day. And it was the power of the Spirit that convicted the hearts of those 3,000 men and had them baptized that day. It was the Holy Spirit talking. Because when God speaks, it matters. Now some may be saying, okay, the Holy Spirit was speaking through them, yeah, I'll give you that. But even when the Holy Spirit wasn't speaking through the apostles, they were still pretty darn good speakers. You know, they were fairly eloquent and just all around good speakers. And some people might be thinking, but oh no, I'd never be able to do that. I'm not a good speaker. I'd never be able to talk to 3,000 people and get them all to be baptized. It's impossible for me. Well, I've got some news for you. It's the same thing Moses thought. We read that in Exodus, the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 12. Moses says to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord doesn't care about that. The Lord replies to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." We know how the story goes from there. Moses eventually, after a little bit more work from God, decides to go. You know, talks to Pharaoh a whole bunch of times, doesn't always work out, but eventually Pharaoh says, okay, take them, go. Now, that's pretty impressive. Moses couldn't have done that on his own. We see here in chapter 7 of Exodus, verses 1 and 2. "The Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you like a god to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of this country.'" Now, Pharaoh wasn't just a normal man. He wasn't even just a powerful man. Pharaoh thought that he was God. As far as the Egyptians were concerned, Pharaoh was a god. Now, for the Lord to make Moses to be as a god to someone who himself thought was a god is a pretty impressive thing. Moses couldn't have done that on his own. If Moses came up to Pharaoh and said, "Hey, Pharaoh, you should treat me like a god," I think it'd work out great. I don't think it would work. I don't think Pharaoh would take too well to that. But the Lord was with Moses. The Lord made Moses like a god to Pharaoh. It doesn't matter if you're like Moses and you're slow of speech and tongue. It doesn't matter if you're like the apostles, eloquent speakers. It doesn't matter how good you talk. It doesn't matter who you are. God can speak through you. God gave us our voices, each and every one of us. And he can use those voices. Because when God speaks, it matters. I'm going to leave with one final scripture. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. "As the snow comes down from heaven and does not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Now, anyone that wishes to come forth can, as we stand and sing this song.